Hello.
Hello.
Hello, it's Joy.
Hi, it's Christine.
Christine, I'm going to actually call in on my phone. So hang on there.
Hi, this is Jamie.
It's Joyce.
Hi, Joyce.
Christine's here.
Hi. Is Sasha? Is Sasha there? Is Sasha here?
Lou's here.
Hello. Okay, now who's on the line? Sue, Joyce, and who else?
Jamie.
Hi, Jamie, and who else?
I heard Christine.
Christine here.
Hi, Christine. Who else?
I think Sasha is having a phone issue.
From Denver? From Colorado?
Hi, Christine. Did you hear her having a problem?
Yeah, I could barely hear her at all.
Me too.
Unbelievable.
And she kind of disappeared.
Maybe she'll call in again.
I think that was her plan.
Where's Randy?
Randy is here.
Hi, Randy.
Can you guys hear me? Hello, can everyone hear me?
He's asking to be heard.
I'm sorry?
I said, who is asking if... there be heard.
This is Sasha. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. I can hear you now.
Yes. Yep.
Okay, great.
Hi, guys.
So who do we have?
Carla, can you hear me?
Who do we have online? Yes, we have Carla, Randy, Jamie, Sue, Christine. Anyone I'm missing?
Joyce.
Can you guys hear me?
Joyce. Yes, Carla, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you.
And Genevieve, are you with us? Okay. Well, she'll be joining us any moment. And before we get started, I would love for someone to volunteer to do our grounding.
It's Sue. I'm going to do the grounding.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sue.
Okay, so let's take a moment wherever we are. If it's on the floor, if it's in the car, if it's in the kitchen, take a mindful moment
to be grateful that we are, can all be together at this time, grateful. So a mindful moment to be grateful that we can all be together at this time. Let's take one collective Om. Breathing in through your nose. One collective Om. Om. Namaste, my friend. So special.
Wonderful, Sue. There's never enough gratitude to go around, right? So thank you for that lovely reminder. So welcome to the call, everyone.
I cannot hear you, Sasha. Somebody's all garbled.
I'm on a new headset, and is anyone else having trouble hearing me?
It's good right now.
Right now it's good.
Yeah, this is the same place I was last week, so there shouldn't be any issues.
Okay.
Are you guys okay?
Yeah.
All right. So I just wanted to go over the two emails that I sent this morning regarding the coaching requirements. Did anyone not receive those? Okay. So basically what I need from you on the one that goes through all the coaching requirements, if you could just reply to me, not to the group, and in the subject line, just please write, I understand and accept the requirements for certification.
Hi, this is Genevieve.
Hey, Genevieve. Thanks for joining us. So we're just going over the emails that I sent this morning. So, again, just if each one of you can reply just to me in the subject line, write, I understand and accept the requirements for certification. And then the other document is a place to record your 20 sample sessions that you'll be doing between now. And even if you've already done some or practiced some, either with your buddy or a colleague, obviously those will apply. So this is a great way just to keep a record of the in the document that I sent. And that document will be due to me no later than 1 week after we complete our 12th call, which is the exact time of our final exam. Okay. Does anyone have any questions around that piece of certification requirements? Okay, great. Awesome. So what I'd love to do today, we have 7 people on the call. Let's have 4 people take 2 minutes each at most, 90 seconds to 2 minutes, and share with the group a win, you know, something that was amazing that happened to you this week, a challenge, something that you found, you know, difficult to manage or something that came up, and a piece of your own work, anything having to do with your SMART goals. So if you were not able to share with us last week in this portion of our session, if you guys would volunteer to go first, that would be great, because I know it sometimes we're going to have some overlap. Who would like to start us off?
This is Genevieve. I'll go.
Thanks, Genevieve.
So my win this week was, I think, going down to Santa Cruz for the day with my girlfriend, and we went to a master Iyengar teacher named Kofi to his yoga class, and his theming and his class was just super intelligent and awesome. And then our girlfriend we drove down with went to see family, so she dropped us off, and we spent the day like two kids being dropped off at the mall or something, and spent the whole day roaming around Santa Cruz, went to the beach, went to the boardwalk, went to rides, had dinner, went shopping, bought some artwork. It was awesome. So that was my win. And my challenge was, I think my challenge has been in my relationship with my current partner, because we're thinking about moving in together, and I keep fluctuating. Yes, I want to. No, I don't. Yes, I do. No, I don't. So that's my challenge. And for my SMART goals, I found someone that I wanted to work with. And, I was looking for someone, and I found someone that I wanted to work with, because I'm doing a special relationship thing, and she's single, and I want to get her partnered. And so that's my question to you, is, like, I already have a goal for her before she does. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird, but that's truly what I want to work with, is I want to find someone who's single and take them to partnership.
Hmm. Well, first of all, thank you for sharing. I love that you were hanging out and being a kid in Santa Cruz. I can just imagine. And, wait until this session gets a little bit deeper, because it's exactly what we're going to be chatting about, the coach's agenda versus the client's agenda and how to manage that. And then so just hang on to that. And we'll discuss it together, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Thanks, Genevieve. Who would like to share next?
This is Joyce.
Thanks, Joyce.
Okay. My win was I had a lovely dinner with my two sisters. I'm the middle of three girls, all 2 years apart, and then followed by three boys, so there are a lot of kids in the family. Always fine for any kind of attention. So it's been our history. Anytime we get together, there's some competition, some antagonism, tension. I mean, it's usually somebody's always like out for someone else. But this particular dinner was wonderful. It was just love and gratitude, and we talked about all good things, and it was it's really a light that I needed to have. So that was something I'm going to remember a long time. A challenge that I had, I did take on my first coaching guinea pig, and I thought it went really great until I read back the note and did a follow-up with her, and I realized that I had totally hijacked her agenda. You know, I kind of knew all the answers, and I think talked her into things she wasn't ready to accept. So I have a lot to learn here. I did enjoy it, though, so it was kind of not a total challenge. I enjoyed the process. But I have a lot to learn. SMART goals. I'm almost embarrassed, but I might as well tell the truth. I never really learned to type, and I can always skate by with it, but I'm realizing it's time to get serious, that it holds me back because it takes me so long to compose anything. So I found a course that I can take online, and so I'm slogging through it.
That's awesome. Thanks, Joyce, and I'm so proud of you for stepping into coaching, because it's not pretty the first time we do it. You know, we have to build that muscle. We're just in the process of learning. So, sometimes we, in our culture, we always wait for, oh, I'll do this when I'm there. I'll start coaching after I get to this point. And so just congratulations on taking that step to be a mentor coach already. So congratulations. Thank you. Is there anyone on the call that was not able to share last week that would like to share this week?
Carla.
Thanks, Carla. Go ahead.
Okay. I think my, it's one, my challenge and my given situation is one. It has to do, it's a simple one, and it has to do with the whole jet lag thing when I go back and forth. The first week when I'm back, I'm always, I want to go on with my practice, and I can do it because of the jet lag and not feeling well. And last week I did it. I promised myself, you know something, even if it's for half an hour, go to the studio and do your practice. And I succeeded in practicing almost every day for minimal 1 hour. And the challenge was that I didn't push myself. I was committed, but I didn't push myself that I had to finish and that I couldn't walk out of the classroom when I couldn't manage it anymore. That was it.
Great. Thank you. And would you like to share anything about your SMART goals?
My SMART goal. My SMART goal is that I want to try to do one activity per day that is truly for myself and my own enjoyment. So truly, truly for myself. And the first thing that I'm going to do and that I want to start now is to read a book and to finish it. And try to do a little bit of reading every day, not a study book or something, but just a beautiful book.
Beautiful. Thank you, Carla. I'm hearing a lot on the self-care piece, and that's huge. So just keep it up and keep going easy on yourself, especially when you have those days and weeks of jet lag. So. Good job. We'll take one more. Who would like to share, please?
This is Christine. I'll share.
Thanks, Christine.
So my win was I was able to mediate a misunderstanding between one of my best friends and my son. He perceived that she had accused him of doing something that he hadn't done. It was a total misunderstanding, but I managed to make sure that there weren't any hard feelings on either side, which felt good to me because I feel like my friends are part of my extended family, and I want everybody to get along with everybody else. Mm-hmm. So that was my win. My challenge, and I want to apologize to the group. I'm going to try to keep myself on mute as much as I can. My challenge is that I have two teenage sons, and somehow I got that house where everybody wants to hang out all of the time, and they're just really loud today, even though I asked them, please, please, I'm going to be on my class, please be quiet. They're in the driveway beneath my window shooting basketball. They're just, and they're not obnoxious. They're just loud. So that's my challenge. I'm trying to work with that. My house is never quiet. There is not a quiet spot in my house ever. And for my SMART goals, must be the day for embarrassing things. I know Joyce said, you know, she was having embarrassing. I'm a yoga teacher who loves yoga and understands the benefits of yoga. And sometimes I'm so busy, I have a hard time getting to my own mat. My own practice is not what I would like it to be. And so one of my SMART goals is to try to increase that. Even if I can do it in small little increments, 10 more minutes a day, I'm just trying to make that better. And that's that self-care piece, too, because I know that's really important for me now.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Can I say something, Sue? Can I say something, Sue?
Sure, quickly.
Quickly, Christine, yes. While you're teaching, can you have a mat in the front of the room that you can jump on
One of my challenges is that one of my, I'm only teaching one class right now, and they like to break up for the summer, so they're coming back next week, but I've been kind of on my own all summer, so I'm just trying to sneak in more of my own practice.
Fine. Okay, great. Sasha, was that quick
enough?
Thank you. Yeah. No, I appreciate the support and the, the suggestions. For sure. And Christine, you manage yourself as you need to on this call today, in terms of any background noise. Okay. And we totally understand and know that you're here. So thank you everyone for sharing. It just feels like that, I really like this piece because it connects us. It, you know, some of the things that people are sharing may be, some things that other people or other participants are feeling. And I just feel like it brings a sense of intimacy and connection to the group to talk about things more on a personal level and integrate that with the work that we're doing, because those are the kinds of things that we're going to be asking of our clients as well. And if we can show up in that way, you know, we're modeling exactly how we, you know, hope the relation to the client-coach relationship will evolve. So thank you very much. So today we're going to be getting into the crux of mentor coaching. So if everyone can turn in their books to page 97, if you're not there already. And, you know, this is really puts a framework around the individual coaching session. So this is a model that we're all going to learn and follow. And you may have heard bits and pieces of it when I was doing my demo coaching the last 2 weeks. Maybe you read ahead. Maybe you hadn't, and some of the dots will be connected today. But this is really the structure which we want to follow to be working with our clients one-on-one. And so you can read through with me in the next few pages, and then we'll go into it in more detail. The first step is to specify the client's agenda. Second step on the next page, page 98, is determine useful intervention moments. The third step on page 99 is to shift the perspective. Bottom of the page, the fourth step is to frame the session. And I'm hearing a little bit of background noise, so maybe star six if that's you. And then the final step in the simple coaching model is on page 100, the follow-up, number five. So we're going to be diving into these in much more detail and with greater awareness and insight. So what I'd like to offer to the group, and again, being mindful of who's spoken and I'm giving everyone a chance to share their experience, I'm going to ask one of you to take on one of the five in sequential order steps and just talk a little bit about what that specific step means to you. You know, how you understand it, and then also give an example of that step as a yoga teacher or student, so drawing that parallel back to yoga. Does anyone not understand the inquiry? Okay, great. And we'll flesh this out a bit, you know, through conversation. I just would like for one person to lead us in to each of the steps. So, and you're welcome to read any bullet points or anything that you felt was, you know, that jumped out at you off the page under that specific step. Who would like to take on the first one, specifying the client's agenda?
It's true, I will. So the specific issue the client wants to focus on, the details, what the client wants to accomplish in the session, what they want to focus on in the session, or what would you like us to accomplish in our time today. As a coach, you listen deeply.
keep going. I'm sorry. Keep going.
As a coach, you listen deeply and consistently to the client. You respond appropriately to what the client says and to his or her energy. Serve the client's agenda through each question and statement. Listening is what I get out of all this. Listening to your client. To the exact words and to the energy, you have to really try to read what your client is saying.
Great. So in your personal experience, can you share an example of when you really felt listened to, you really felt heard, and what that experience was like for you?
When I myself felt really heard?
Correct.
Actually, with my buddy today, Joyce, I think Joyce is a great listener, and we had a great buddy session today, and she has no idea how wonderful she listens.
Well, she does now, because you just...
Yeah, and she heard me. She heard me. She heard me. We, you know, she went over it again, and she really got what I was trying to say, and I thought that was awesome.
That's wonderful, and I'm glad you guys are working with your buddies. So, taking that piece into this specific step, how does listening, how will that support your client deciding upon what their agenda is for the session?
If you listen, then you can brainstorm as to what you would say next to your client. You listen and you carefully take a step back and then decide what you're going to say to help that client.
Okay, great. And what if the client, and this is open to the whole group now, thank you, Sue. But I'm going to come back to you on a yoga parallel. What if your client doesn't have an agenda?
Oh, well. I guess as a coach, you try to coach them into how to get an agenda.
Well, I guess, I'm sorry. Am I interrupting?
No, please go ahead. Is it Joyce?
Joyce, yeah,
I can't.
This is Joyce.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. First of all, if you repeat that, what you heard them say, sometimes just the repeating it back, they can see some clarity or maybe no clarity, or maybe they're just all over the place. So you have to ask specific questions and keep gently pressing them to come up with a focus.
Gently pressing. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Well, through questioning skills.
Great. What kind of questioning skills?
Open-ended questions.
Beautiful. That's awesome. Using powerful questions is one of the greatest tools you can use or have in your toolkit to help the client come to an agenda, because there are a lot of times where, you know, if you're working with a client on a regular basis, sometimes I just had one on Sunday with a client who really didn't have a specific agenda. And it really is, they're driving this, remember. They're the ones that are coming to the table with what they want to work on. It's not about what we want for them. But when you ask powerful questions, you're able to sort of distill down and clarify, as Joyce just said, bringing some clarity around their agenda. Now, my client, for example, 2 days ago, did not have an agenda, and she's worked with me for a while now, and she's like, but I'm sure we'll get there, you know, and you can start out in one place and then an hour later be in a completely different place. But it's really important to try to create that sense of what the client wants in the very beginning of the call, because, again, that creates the structure and the roadmap for you as a coach to navigate with your client in the direction they want to go. Any questions on that piece? And so, Sue, I'm going to bring it back to you just briefly. Can you give an example of how this tool can be used as a yoga teacher?
My thoughts are, as a coach, you listen, and as a yoga teacher, you know, you're just in the room and you model, so you might have your mat up there, and all you can do is jump on it and do, you know, down dog or whatever it is, and just model. And sometimes less is more. Well, you know, like the less you say, maybe the more they get. Does that make sense?
Sure, depending upon where they're coming from in that day. So it's sort of I'm asking a non-specific question here because very often, unless you're in a private session, you're really, as a yoga teacher, you're in front of a group of people. So unless someone has come to you in the beginning of class and, for example, they say that they're injured and they can't do any inversions or, you know, they can't do any downward facing dogs, whatever, or they're not sure what they want to get out of their class, of their practice, and maybe it's just being present with that. So the tool that you use to help specify the client's agenda in a coaching relationship can also be served if you were to have that circumstance where a client, a student would come to you and talk to you about their specifics before class. Does that make sense?
I say just get on your mat and do the best that you can do. And, you know, mirror what's going on in the room. And just the fact that you showed up, you know, is a plus.
Excellent. Does anybody have anything to add on the yoga side of specifying the client's agenda?
I mean, the client, you mean the student's agenda when they come into a class and they, for the first time and they get on their mat. They don't know what to expect. Right? So you could say, just get on your mat and mirror and you're here. You
right,
showed up.
I got that. Yeah, thank you for that too. I was just curious if anyone had anything additional to share about this piece.
What would you say, Sean?
Yeah, I have a question. This is Genevieve. And it's going back to, again, you know, if the client has no agenda, and I understand we're supposed to ask powerful questions, you know, so say someone, no one has, they don't have an agenda, it's like, okay, so nothing, you know, how was your day? Oh, great, okay. I mean, I guess somehow, some way through asking those questions, something will pop up, huh?
Typically it does, but I hear where you're coming from, Genevieve. It's like, you know, you just don't want to pull things out of the air and create something that's not there. But you can ask questions, and we'll learn more about this as we go, other tools besides brainstorming, which will help clarify the client's agenda. You can ask them things, for example, like, where are you feeling stuck? What do you want more of in your life? And a whole, you know, litany of other questions. But it's just a place to start, and I don't want to dive into that too much because I want to stick to the agenda here, here on that. But, yes, there are ways to sort of navigate and come up, and just in conversation when you start talking about something, more than likely, remember, the client is creative, resourceful, and whole. And they know what they want. They might not be able to articulate it. So it's our job to help support them and ask in the ways that will help to give them the ability to language around what they're feeling. Great question. Okay. Great question. Awesome. Thank you, Sue. All right, let's turn the page and move on to number two, determine useful intervention moments. Who would like to take on the second tool?
This is Jamie. I'll do it.
Thanks, Jamie.
So actually, I was the recipient, so I was the client of a very practiced coach just this past Friday. And she gave me a wonderful model of this particular piece. At least that's the way that I was viewing what I was experiencing. In the sense it says the intervention moment is the engagement to explore a specific aspect at the center of the client's topic. And I had presented to her a particular, it started with she's a body worker also. So it started with a particular physical pain. And as she asked more and more very powerful questions to kind of get at, you know, what was the story behind the pain, I started getting a better sense of, I think, this format that we're working through. And there came a moment where she noticed and I literally had a visceral reaction to one of her questions. In fact, I became very, very strident in my answer. And she immediately grabbed onto that, not in a defensive way, but in a manner that literally assisted me, just like I'm thinking about how a teacher would do it on, you know, when I'm on my yoga mat. She assisted me to literally kind of drop into my story. And from there, we unraveled. I mean, what unraveled, it unraveled, was an incredibly held emotion that was deeply embedded in this story. And I really came away from the experience, even though I was the client and not the coach, just with a real sense of kind of an aha. It's like, oh, that's what the intervention moment is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the experience around that. And I don't know that I've had anything from the coach perspective that, you know, has been that effective, because I'm still pretty new at all of this, but that really felt to me like what this is talking about. And what I was really aware of was how keyed in to me she was. She was completely attuned to the story beneath the story, basically. I guess that's all
wow.
I wanted to share about that.
Well, that's
very
a lot.
Nice.
Yes, and what a wonderful gift to be able
yeah.
to work with this masterful coach. I don't know if you're doing that on a regular basis, but it's I hear what you're saying about, like, the aha typically comes from the coach, but she's modeling what you're learning. And even though it was a personal session, right, like you were
yeah.
deep in your own stuff, you were truly the client. You weren't showing up to learn how to coach, but reflecting back and sharing with us now that you can learn by what she's doing, right? You're not asking yourself to do that when you're in session because you want to benefit from the coaching collaboration. But that is a beautiful example of both, the intervention moment and how she illuminated something that was maybe triggering in you. And it sounded like she gave a sense of safety and support for you to explore that place that may have been super frightening.
Correct.
Yeah. Great. And I really like you went right into the yoga parallel. Like, so, in terms of a teacher hands-on assisting.
Mm-hmm.
Let me open it up to the group, and thank you for that. Would anyone else like to share a parallel to this piece here as a yoga teacher, determining a useful intervention moment, an opportunity as a yoga teacher to practice this skill. And if you're not a yoga teacher, I don't mean to exclude by just naming that. It can also be as a yoga student.
Can I go? It's Joyce.
Sure, but I also want to give some other pants if they haven't spoken, because just to keep it, give everyone the opportunity. Randy, we haven't heard from you. Are you still on the call?
I still am on the call. Yeah, I'm just taking
it in. Okay. I am sure you are. We just wanted to hear from the male portion of our, you know, group.
Right. I can certainly do that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think as a yoga student, when I've had this experience, you know, when a teacher can, you know, is listening, attuned to, you know, the postures that I'm in or the practices, and noticing that something might be coming up, and you know, just either giving a glance across the room, which is very affirming, or occasionally someone will, you know, come closer and you know, be a little more hands-on with what's happening. But I think it's acknowledging that there is a period of stuckness that's there, or something that's coming up that's difficult, and just that affirmation or that acknowledgement is it's a nice way to sort of intervention in that way.
Mm. That's great. Thank you. And the acknowledgement can also be verbal, right? I know in my classes when I teach, I do my best to acknowledge each one in the class by saying their name aloud, and just using your intuition as well. This is a good place to use that, and we'll talk more about that as we go. So great. Thank you. Joyce, did not mean to cut you off. You will come back with us, I promise. Let's move on to number three on page 99, shifting the perspective. Talk about, whoever decides to take this one, talk about, you know, how that lands with you, what speaks to you about this piece, and if you can draw a parallel to your yoga practice.
This is Christine. Thanks,
Christine.
Okay, Randy can talk, because he hasn't talked yet, if you'd rather.
I'll be number four if it's possible, so you're fine.
Okay.
Now you guys are really fighting over talking. I love it. We've made progress. We have made progress. Okay. Go ahead, Christine. Sorry.
This one really resonates with me, because I feel like we do the same things in the same ways all the time, and we don't even notice. And I'm always encouraging my yoga students to, if they feel stuck in some area of their life, make small changes in some other area. You know, if you're wrestling with a problem or something, try brushing your teeth with the other hand. Put the shoe on the other foot, switch it up. Just, and I always feel like small changes that we think would be irrelevant can actually create bigger emotional shifts for people.
Christine, is that you? I'm just curious, is that your background noise?
I don't think so. My background noise seems to have taken a walk.
Okay, so there is a little background noise. If you guys can press star 6 if you're not speaking, that would be wonderful.
I am muted. I don't know what anybody else is doing, but I am muted.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Christine?
Yeah, no, that was just, you know, small changes. Even small changes in your physical habits can lead to bigger changes in your emotional habits, and sometimes just shifting, you know, driving a different way to work in the morning. If you always order a coffee, a bagel, order a tea and a muffin, just teeny tiny little changes sometimes shift everything else in your perspective.
Awesome. Yeah, so what I want to add here before I open up to the group is that as you become more and more seasoned as a coach, you know, you'll learn how to manage this tool effectively. One of the biggest mistakes that a rookie coach can make, and it's there's no judgment being thrown out here, but it's that tendency to force or rush for a client to shift in a way that maybe we see as coaches, but yet the client hasn't found in their own, they just haven't found it on their own yet. And it's just not as impactful, and it doesn't land as big with the client when it comes from the coach. And Genevieve, maybe, I don't know, just sort of play around with this. Maybe this is something you were speaking to earlier. But if it comes from the client, it has a greater impact. And it's the impetus, actually, for change. This is where change starts to catalyze. And so, you know, the client will be able to see that they can trust that when they find themselves in any stuck places and they come to this shift in perspective, then all of a sudden it's like this sort of an aha for them, but they shift to then possibility thinking. And then they can access, like we talked about last week, when they're grounded and centered, they can access all states of mind. And then all of a sudden, there are so many different possibilities rather than just being stuck. So it's like, what's possible from this place when you are like this, or when you're thinking like this, or when you're showing up like this? What's possible for your life, or to be more specific, whatever their agenda is? So, that last sentence, right before frame the session, the shift invitation may come in the form of a challenge. This is what we were talking about earlier. A nudge, a suggestion, a new perspective, or simply questioning how the client's thinking led to his or her conclusion. So there are many ways to sort of elicit or illuminate this shift in the client, but the point that I really want you guys to take home is it must come from them. And we use our strategies, we use the principles, we use the tools to allow it to come to surface through them and let them share it with us. And then we can go from there. What questions do you have around this piece? Because they're all important, but I find this to be super important, especially when you're learning, just learning.
Yeah, that was my take on that. That this number three was probably the most important one. It just had so much potential, and I'm kind of, when I'm looking at this, I kind of see that it's a little bit of two and a little bit of four, and that there's some that they haven't yet come to it. The perspective that you're nudging them, and there's also a perspective that they've come to it. And you want to amplify it or anchor it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Is that right,
Randy? Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. These all intertwine. These five all intertwine. The chronology of it is super important because that's just the flow of the session between coach and client, and it can kind of go back and forth, but certainly you're not going to specify the agenda at the end of the call. So, but there's a myriad of sort of things overlapping each other. So, yes, great perspective there. No problem.
One question I have for you, Sasha, is what percentage of the time, or just maybe talk a little bit about how much the client comes to that aha moment themselves without any questioning or nudging, but just the intervention triggers an aha moment, a little bit like what Jamie was talking about. And how much does the coach really be a little more active with questioning and nudge and maybe a suggestion to shift that perspective?
It's a great question, and I think we've touched on pieces here and there, but I don't know if you're asking in terms of, like, percentages, because I wouldn't be able to give you that. But I find that more often than not, in my experience, as you become more skillful as a coach, your guide, your navigation allows the client to come to that themselves. It's always my belief that the client has all the answers within them, all right? But there are many, many reasons why those answers can't come to the surface. They can't become clear. We're a little bit objective. You know, we're stepping away from any emotional intensity that may be around some of the things they're talking about, any challenges. We don't know their whole story, but we're helping them design how they want to ghostwrite their story. You know, they're changing the way they want to show up. If everything was just exactly as they wanted it to be, you probably wouldn't be working together, because they would be feeling like, you know, they were on track with everything in their life. So I'm not sure if I'm circumventing your question, but I just think that it's a combination of the collaborative experience where you have a skillful coach asking the right questions and knowing when to be more active, knowing when to sit back and listen more, and that balance between the two. And then you guys, in your reading on pages 81 through 86, you know, talked a little bit about the energy between the two and the energy of what the client's bringing. So there are subtle cues that you can pick up on to either talk about more or, you know, just simply manage, especially when you work with a client on the phone. It's just, you know, you can't really read their body language, but you can get a sense of sort of the energy and the language. Does that help at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. I just noticed on page 99, they really focus more on the question, sort of leading them to that shift in perspective, and there weren't either a question or kind of a statement that focuses on, but what I'm hearing you're saying clear is to do both and be organic in that process.
Absolutely. And basically what this is saying is you're creating the opportunity to invite your client to shift their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
But I'm hearing there's some sort of shift happens just automatically, and you're pointing it out to them.
It does. Absolutely. Yep. And each situation can be different. Okay, great. Really briefly, because I want to make sure I give the next two equal time. Who took this on? Christine, could you give us a parallel to yoga in shifting the perspective, just briefly, if anything comes to mind?
I think because in yoga there's so many ways to approach a pose, I feel like that goes with shifting the perspective. You know, if you understand, okay, you have to do things in a certain way, that's a very fixed perspective. But if you can explain, you know, if you're a student, I have some students who do chair yoga. I have a mixed class of chair and on the mat. And I can teach the same pose, but sometimes I have to just, you know, shift the perspective of how that pose is approached.
Right. Great. And another thing I would like to add is modification, right? Modification in a pose. That's a great way to help a student shift their perspective and set them up for success.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right, Randy, you claim number four. Frame
okay, right, yeah. So number four, frame the session. Reading through this, it really seems this is the pulling it together, sort of acknowledging what's happened, what they're thinking about, and focusing on what their commitment is and, you know, what it is that they're going to do, what steps they can take, and beginning to explore with them, you know, what do those steps look like? What's coming to you at this moment? You know, just spending a little more time fleshing that out, brainstorming with them, and checking their commitment level, you know, how that feels and what's next for them to be able to follow through with the shift that's just taken place.
Great. And if Randy or if everyone can turn to the top of page 100, Randy, would you read that top paragraph? Because this is, it's really just saying what it, stating what you just said, but I'd love for you to read that.
Sure. The culmination of each coaching session is to reach an agreement about the next steps that the client will commit to in the following week prior to the next session.
So when I was doing my demo coaching, can you, or anyone open to the group, recall how I used this tool? Did you hear the way I asked, let's see, Christine and who else did I coach? Who did I coach the first week? Wow.
Genevieve,
thank you. Sorry. To ask them to make a commitment by using the statement, I am committed to. Powerful, powerful way to engage your client in staying in action and keeping them accountable towards the things that they say are important to them. Great. Thanks, Randy. For the group, and Joyce, you can step in if you'd like on this one. Certainly you don't have to, but can you draw a parallel to yoga using this frame, this session tool?
Well, as a student, there are certain things I've been trying to accomplish, and sometimes I'll get an assist, which puts me into the proper alignment, and that's when I have the aha moment. So the parallel, I guess, to frame it is once I know what that feels like, how will I move forward to continue to practice it? You know, like handstand, for example, terrifies me, but I would really love to accomplish that. So,
it terrifies most people, just so you know.
Well, to get, I think I can do it, though. So I just need to have someone ask me to commit to, you know, will you practice it every day?
Great. That's just that's a perfect parallel. Thank you. All right, someone who hasn't well, there are a couple of people that haven't, but who would like, if you haven't yet spoken about the previous four, who would like to take on number five? So I believe that either Genevieve or Joyce?
Jamie
did two.
She did two. Right.
Genevieve, would you like to take on number five?
Hi, sorry, I just wanted to unmute it as well. Follow up with your client is basically just as you did with us, or maybe those who haven't been coached yet, one of the things that we came up with during the session, and you asked, you framed the session by asking the client to say, I am committed to whatever it is that you guys came up with, and just following up with them about how they're doing, how the session felt for them, and if they had an opportunity to follow through with what they committed to.
Exactly, and this one is pretty straightforward, and like it says right here in the book, you're basically an accountability partner. That's the main difference between consulting and therapy. I kind of put those together, even though there's some differences there, but those two versus coaching. You want to keep your client in action and keep them moving forward because that's what catalyzes change. So by checking in, just think of a time or even the present time if you're doing it now, maybe with your buddies or maybe in another place in your life with your spouse or your partner or whatever, that you say you're going to do something. And if you know someone's holding you accountable and is going to check in with you on what you're committed to do, how that shapes your desire and your ability and your commitment to do it. Great. How about a parallel to yoga on this piece? Holding someone accountable.
Or anybody?
No, go ahead. No, it was open to Genevieve, you or the group. I just wanted to let you know it's open to anyone.
Yeah, you just, when you see your student come back the next time in class, and ask them, or even... You ask them, you know, if they had an opportunity to practice whatever it was they were working on, or even you yourself notice it, and after class you can, you know, go to them and say, wow, I can tell blah, 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 you know, from last time. Mm-hmm. So just acknowledging them.
Sorry to interrupt you. I'm sorry. As a student, how does that make you feel when the teacher is supporting you, engaged, noticing the shifts in your practice?
Yeah, they love it. They're like, oh, she's paying attention to me. she's like, she
exactly.
notices.
And she's listening and she's watching and she cares and she supports in a way that's super, super healthy. That's great. Awesome. Thank you, everyone. So we are just at the top of the hour before we get into our first live coaching call with you guys. And there was a little shift. I had to send one more document out with the updated schedule because I had actually made a mistake. Randy is going to be our coach. Joyce is going to be our client. And Carla, are you still with us?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Haven't heard much from you today. Is going to be the observer. But before we mute, I just want to sort of read over some of my notes that will help you to listen to what we've discussed today and listen for it in the coaching call. So in terms of the five steps of the simple coaching model, number one, clarifying the agenda. The best way to do that is to ask powerful questions and to listen. Number two, seizing the coachable moment, which is the aha for the coach. The best way to get there is to use your intuition. The third one, inviting the shift, is to create the opportunity to shift your client's perspective and help to catalyze change. We talked a little bit about that. This is just sort of a review. Number four, framing the session, explore their commitment. And see where they agree or choose to disagree on any next steps. And we have a lot of, I hear a phone ringing in the background, so maybe mute yourself. And then, number five, the follow-up. So I'm hearing some background noise. If you've got a phone ringing, can you please hit star six? Thank you. Remember that you're an accountability partner, and this is really designed to be in between sessions for continuity of, you know, your collaboration. It keeps the client in action. All right, so we're going to listen for those things. So everybody except for Randy and Joyce are going to hit star six and mute. Give us a minute to do that. Randy, watch your time, 15 minutes on the coaching, and then we'll all join back in. Good luck and have fun.
So you'll be on mute as well, is that right, Sasha?
I'm sorry, Randy?
You'll be on mute as well.
Yeah, everyone except for you two.
Yeah, okay.
Including me.
Okay. Joyce, are you there?
I am there. Here. I'm here.
Wonderful. I am really thrilled and honored to work with you as the first person to coach. And, I'm excited to explore a little bit in our 15 minutes together.
Okay.
Are you ready to go?
I think so.
Good. Maybe a little bit nervous.
I live nervous.
Yeah. Good. Well, I am too, so we're in it together.
Okay, good.
Let's just start by, finding out, in 15 minutes, what do you think would be useful to chat about that might, use our time in the best way? Is there something that's come up that you'd like to work with that you know, or do you want to explore that a little bit?
I retired about 6 months ago, but before I retired, I had like a two-page list of things I wanted to do, and I wanted to do so many things, I was paralyzed, so I have not accomplished any of them. So I'm beginning this because I wanted to begin something, but here's where I would like some guidance. I really like this, the whole coaching model. I think I'd be good at it, but I'm not sure I have the confidence to follow through to actually establish a practice and do all that it entails, their website, marketing, and actually be able to charge people. So I hope this isn't too global or too out there, but I guess if you could talk to me about that, like how to get myself gelled a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I just really applaud your honesty. It's something I think we can all relate to and appreciate. It seems like it would be a big topic, but in 15 minutes, I think let's explore it a little bit. Sounds like for you, what's going to be important is to kind of look at, all right, I've got a whole list of things. Coaching is one of them. It's really important. But gosh, do I really have the capabilities, and can I really feel comfortable enough charging for the services that I'm going to offer for people? So it sounds like a lot is getting yourself comfortable in this role as a coach.
Yes, I'm having difficulty with that.
Mm-hmm. And what comes up for you when you imagine being a coach? Is it saying the wrong thing? Is it not having enough skills? Is it not practicing? What is it for you when you think about being uncomfortable?
That's really a good question. Probably that it's so much responsibility. When I did the practice session with my guinea pig client, and she really needed something. She had big issues, and I was really trying to be open and just guiding, but I could see where I could really hurt her by saying the wrong thing or having her do something she wasn't ready to do. So it's responsibility, I guess, and the confidence to think I'm good enough, and actually charging, putting that value on me.
Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that you're saying the right things and not saying the wrong things that are going to be harmful in that other person and where
exactly.
They're going.
Or not saying too much. Like being able to stand back and just ask the right questions. And it's difficult because I think, erroneously I'm sure, that I can see exactly what needs to be done. So to step out of that
advice-giving role,
mm-hmm.
and instead just be open and get more into them. I guess get more into them and not mm-hmm. out of me.
Is that something that's hard for you to do, is to, because you know you can see things, is it hard for you to not say those things because they're just top of mind in your heart?
It's very hard. I suppose I've just always done it, right or wrong. So mm-hmm. it was actually humbling for me.
Humbling in watching somebody else's process.
Well, humbling in that I don't have all the answers. Why would I have ever assumed that I did? And also, I suppose I'm not really listening if I keep putting my own thoughts in there.
Mm-hmm. So there's some self-reflection about, you know, it's not your agenda, it's theirs. And
mm-hmm.
So do you have a sense on like if you were to do one small thing? I mean, I'm hearing that you've got a little sense, there's a little nervousness, but I also hear that you've got some sense on how you might go ahead and do that. Has something come to you around, as you say, I'm listening more and paying more attention following the person you're working with?
I learned a lot because right after she left, I wrote notes, and I could see all the times when I interjected what I thought might be the right direction. And then when I followed up with her, I see that even though she had committed to a baby step, it was too big of a step, and that I had encouraged her to take that step, and she really wasn't ready.
So you really got it on this last phone call. It came pretty clear to you.
This stuff is just unfolding, and I can't even tell you how full my brain is with things that I thought I knew that I don't know.
And do you have a sense on what you can do to continue that practice or that awareness? What would that look like?
I think really practicing the model, the five steps, and holding back, like you said, Des, I thought that the hardest and the most important is the shift in perspective. It has to be their perspective, not my perspective. So I think the plan works. I just have to continue practicing it. I do want to continue practicing coaching and hold back a little bit. I mean, I think I'll eventually get it. It's just the follow through of going all the way through, like really establishing a practice, getting myself out there, you know, doing the work, charging.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm a little stuck.
Mm-hmm. So that's another place of being stuck is, how do I market myself, how do I get myself out there and making sure I feel confident enough? Because I'm kind of hearing
right.
two stuck. One is that, and then the other is how do I make sure that I can really step back and really allow the client to lead?
Mm-hmm. Like do a good job, really make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Really help people. So, I mean, yeah, that's my major goal.
Mm-hmm.
But then some more.
Mm-hmm. If we were to pick one of those, which one do you want to focus on? We spent most of our time and our little time together here on, you know, what it's like to hold yourself back and to really allow that client to step forward.
I want to focus on that. That's the most important thing. The rest doesn't matter if I don't get that.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think you might, what small thing that you might commit to or think you can do in this, you know, in the next week, either thinking about or practicing that might get you there?
Well, I have another session with this person on Monday. I am going to prepare myself and stick pretty much with the model and try to get into her space where she is and not put her in a place where she's not able to go or willing to go.
And what specifically do you think you might do? To be asking more questions or listening more? What comes up for you?
Listening more, asking more questions, not interjecting what I think. And then not trying to bring it to completion. I mean, it's almost like, you know, want to get the whole meal cooked at once.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a little bite.
Right.
Keeping it tiny, just a little bite at a time.
Mm-hmm. So when you stand back, it's not something you feel like she has to do, but she can really kind of make that herself.
Yeah, I have to let her make it herself.
Well, sounds good. Sounds like you've made some great progress and you've got some good ideas for this next week.
Well, this next week, I think what I'll do is I was thinking that I don't know if this is right, that I would write a little, like, skeleton of questions I would ask, but then that might take me out of the moment.
Mm-hmm. It certainly has the potential to.
Right. You know, I'll do the work. I'll just be present. That's what I'll do. I'll just, like, continue to remind myself to just be present.
It sounds like it's a balance between being present and then, as you're saying, having some questions to remind yourself that questions are good to ask, and if one seems to naturally emerge, then you can use it, but not feeling so tied to it that those questions are driving the agenda.
Right. Well, okay, that's such a great way that you put it. You just said it exactly. I'll have the little outline just as a backup because I need to have the questions, but then my major objective is just to listen and be present. And
great. Well, we are just about out of time. Do you feel complete with this?
I think so. I mean, you know, I was, of course, 15 minutes.
I just want to thank you.
Well, thank you. I feel better. Thank you.
Yeah, great.
All right, great job, you guys. If everyone could, you could stay on mute, and Randy and Joyce, you can press mute. But Carla, if you would come off mute, and would you lead us in facilitating our feedback discussion, please?
Okay. You can all hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. To start with, I think what Randy did very, very great is create a bond, a safe environment for folks to open up. And he made it quite clear from the beginning that they were working together, that they were in it together and that they would do something together. And I think that was very, very beautiful. And the clarifying the agenda, he did a great job as well, because Joyce had quite a list of things that she wanted to do. And Randy narrowed it down very, very gentle to just some things of the whole list. And to shift,
Carla, keep going. I just wanted to be sure that you were still going. There was a long pause.
Yes, what I've noticed with the shift, I was thinking about the shift because what I've noticed about the shift was that in the beginning, Joyce said that she wasn't sure if she could coach, if she was good enough to coach. And then in the middle of the session, she came to the conclusion that she really can coach and that she can do a great job. I think that was the shift. And then the framing really did good as well. And the closing question. So I think Randy did a great, beautiful, great job. The only thing that I put as something to be mindful of when you ask the questions, Randy, in the beginning, at the end you didn't do that anymore, but in the beginning when you asked the questions, you gave suggestions as well. And I think that part, if you give the suggestions, you're filling in a little bit, I think. That's it.
That's
great,
awesome.
Thank you.
That's great, great listening, Carla, and great insight. You tapped into a few things that I took notes on. So thank you for, listening so intently and sharing. We're going to open up to the group, too. Who would like to share what they noticed about that session and give some feedback for Randy in terms of what you found useful and what maybe he can continue to work with?
This is Genevieve. I am curious about the way in which to approach, because I feel that, when Randy was saying, it sounds like it felt a little bit like judgmental about what he was seeing in her. you'd ask the question, well, it sounds to me like you have, whatever it is that was said. Is that what shifting the perspective is just showing them your point of view, what you see that they may not see, or that you're hearing what they're saying? It's reframing, or it seems like if we want them to come up with the aha, I am da 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 da, as opposed to hearing the client or the coach say, it sounds like you are blah 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 blah. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
Well, I apologize because I got dropped in the middle of your conversation, but what I did hear was I did hear the word judgmental, and I was hopeful that you could just say a little bit more about how that felt for you, like more specific, so Randy can really hone in on it.
Well, I'm not quite sure, because there was a lot of things talked about, and then there were two challenges that were brought up, and in each instance, it was Joyce, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah, Joyce was saying, you know, her story, and I said, well, it sounds like you are da-da-da-da-da. And I'm just, I mean, you want me to speak to how that felt. I mean, it would feel to me like in case that wasn't what it was, it would feel judgmental to me. Like, oh, well, you know, I don't know if I'm making any sense. Or
no, you
yeah,
are, you
yeah.
are.
So
this
what
this
I'm
going to
do is I'm going to ask Joyce. Sue, hang on 1 second, please. Joyce, I'm going to ask you, how did it feel to you?
I didn't feel that he was judgmental. I mean, I gave him a hard bunch of stuff. I mean, like I threw a whole bowl of fruit into his lap. So, you know, I think he was just trying to figure out maybe what my point was. I mean, emotionally, I didn't feel judged.
Okay. And so I just want to speak to that. So two of the people on the call had a different experience of what Randy's coaching was like, and that is okay. And it's just a matter of communicating through it, asking what the intention was behind it, and continuing to practice. Sue, what did you want to share with the group, please?
I just thought it was an observation on Randy's part. It's just an observation.
Yeah,
so that was my thing. I didn't want to say that I felt that he was being judgmental. I was more asking, you know, as the client, when we do have something that we're bringing to the forefront that the call is about, how to say it without sounding, I guess it would be then just an acknowledgement of what they're saying. It's your perspective of what they're saying, and you're just sharing that with them.
Yeah, and I feel like this is where the yoga piece comes in. Where is it coming from? Is it coming from a heart-centered place? Is it coming from a judgmental place? Is it, you know, where in you is it coming from a supportive place? And hopefully the client is able to read and feel and trust of the coach. But at the same time, it's well within the client's right to say some emotion, something rise within them on a particular conversation or a particular subject, you know, then and bring that to the table, because you don't want to stuff things down. It's not going to be supportive of the relationship. Great insight, all of you. Who else would like to comment or give feedback to Randy? On the call.
This is Christine. One thing that I thought that Randy did very well was at the point where he said, you know, I see that there's really two places where you might be stuck. Which one do you really want to work on first?
And so how did that land with you? What was he doing well?
I felt like he was addressing her agenda well.
Exactly.
You know, by checking with her which of those was most important to her.
Great. Awesome. Jamie, any thoughts? And then I'll give my thoughts.
Well, I thought that things were really handled very well in terms of just effectively, what I heard was effectively inviting the shift as things started becoming more clear and asking for a commitment. I heard really clear framing and just a lot of Randy asking for very specific actions that Joyce could take, and really underscoring and highlighting areas that she could change. And there just seemed to be a lot of clarity that I was hearing. And I really, the last sentence that I wrote down was, I mean, I heard that a commitment was made to do the work to be present and balanced with the ideas for powerful questions, and that collaboration that I heard come out of those two things being joined to me was just a real great indication of what happened in that relationship. I mean, it's like those, that partnering of those two new ideas came out of that 15-minute session between the two people. At least that's what my perspective was.
Yeah. It's wonderful. You all did a fantastic job of listening and giving feedback. Joyce, I'm just going to give each one of you about 30 seconds, you and Randy. How did that feel to you?
I felt very safe. He's very kind, very nurturing. I mean, if I had any emotion, that was the emotion. And I was all over the place, so I thought he did an exceptional job of trying to keep me focused. And Christine noticed that he did ask me which of these is most important so we could focus on that. And I felt heard. I really did get something out of it.
Beautiful. Randy, you're...
Just briefly, I guess the two things I came away with, one is just gratitude for everybody's comments, specifics, and being honest. You know, it's just really helpful when people can really be honest instead of just, you know, not being afraid of making somebody uncomfortable. And the other one, yeah, it's quite something to have a lot of people talk about how well you did. It's a good ego practice, so thank you.
You ego or gratitude, you know, two different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just interesting that you gratitude at the end of our call when Sue led us into our call with the same energy. So great. Awesome. Well, I'm going to share a little bit of my feedback, and then we're right at the bottom of the hour, so we'll go over. First of all, thank you both so much for being the first ones to go. It's never easy to do this kind of work, especially with your peers and your colleagues that are on the call. But this is one of the most powerful pieces of this program, is to actually jump in, to dive right into a place that we find discomfort and just watch what happens. And, you know, I get chills when I talk about this, because you're going to look back on today and just see the progress that you've made in you know, 12 weeks time. I thought you both did a tremendous job. Tremendous. I mean, given that this is your first time. Some things to, that I noticed, on Randy, what you did really well is I love that you acknowledge the nervous energy that you both were feeling in the beginning. It kind of sets the tone to put things at ease. You also acknowledged her honesty. So, acknowledgement is a huge, huge thing. And Genevieve, you know, talked about it on the yoga mat. When a teacher acknowledges a student for how they see their progress, it just really creates that trust and, that bond. Some things that I would remind yourself to continue to work on is to remember to ask powerful questions. There are a few open-ended questions in there, which is completely normal. Really, as the group goes forward with this, we all know that it's a 15-minute time frame, but there's really no need to address that in the conversation, because you'll be amazed, and we all know 15 minutes is short, but you'll be amazed at what kind of work and transformation can happen in 15 minutes time. So just let the time piece go. And then I want to reiterate what Carla said. Streamline and condense your questions. They're great questions, but they're just a little bit lengthy, and you did, it was almost like a multiple choice, you know, giving her some ideas and just trust. Your ideas are right on, but trust that the client knows what's best for them and let them resource themselves from within to come up, because it has a greater impact when they come up with the answers themselves. And then finally, I thought you'd reached all the steps. Just on the follow-up piece, you want to set a date and a time that you can check in with your client via email, via phone, whatever works between the two of you, to see how their commitment to their homework is going.
Great.
Okay. All right. Hope that was helpful.
Great.
All right. So, homework for next week is to read pages 87 through 112, to review, which we didn't have time to get to today, pages 81 through 86. And then in your yoga supplement, please read the rest of page 2, 3, and there's just a little bit on 4, and take the action challenge on page 4. And all this homework is written down in your syllabus. So let me know if you need my support between now and next Tuesday. I'm just so really, really proud and really pleased with the progress you all are making, and I hope you're enjoying the journey as much as I am. Have a wonderful week, and namaste.
And namaste.
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 Namaste. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Namaste.
Bye.
Thank you.